أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. We were discussing verse number 29. هو الذي خلق لكم ما في الأرض جميعا ثم استوى إلى السماء فسواهن سبع سماوات وهو بكل شيء عليم. He is who created for you all that is in the earth. Then he turned to the heaven and fashioned it into seven heavens, and he has knowledge of all things. We discussed about what was created on the earth for us. هو الذي خلق لكم ما في الأرض جميعا. Now the second part of the verse, ثم استوى إلى السماء. Then he turned to heavens. There are certain things that we have to discuss. First of all, the meaning of استوى. ثم استوى إلى السماء. The commentators have given different meanings for استوى, and we have to choose which meaning is more correct. Now, one meaning of استوى is قصد, to intend, to turn to something with some intention, to do something. So there is one Arabic sentence here which explains this. This is what Faiza Kashani mentions in As-Safi, which says, كان الأمير يدبر أمر الشام ثم استوى إلى أهل الحجاز. Amir was managing the affairs of Syria. Then he intended towards the people of Hijaz, for example. So ثم استوى إلى السماء means then he intended to turn towards the heavens and start to create it. The second meaning of استوى, which is more famous of the meaning, is استولى. It means that he started to exert his power in the heavens. So created everything which was on the earth, then started to exert his power in the heavens. He was somehow putting the heavens under his control. And the other meaning, which is probably more plausible meaning here, and is used in the translation, is to turn to something. Al-iqbalu ala shayin. Thumma istawa ila as-sama. Then he turned towards the heavens to create the heavens. There is one other meaning which is mentioned by Faiz Kashani, is akhadha fi khalqaha. Then he started to create, so he created whatever is on the earth for you, then he started to create the heavens. Now, of course, we have to talk about this then shortly. Now, one other meaning is mentioned about istawa, which is usually given by literalist exegetes, commentators, and the meaning is irtafa'a. He elevated to heavens. He went up to heavens. ثُمَّ اسْتَوَى إِلَى السَّمَاءِ. So it means he created everything which was on the earth. Then he moved up to heavens. He elevated and went up to heavens. Now, this has been has caused some problem based on our understanding of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is what they mean by this. And this is something which is reported in Al-Bukhari as well, that he says, Bukhari also reports from Abu al-Aliya, that from Rabi ibn Anas, sorry, from Rabi ibn Anas, that istawa ila as-sama means irtafa ila as-sama. And they mean that Allah created whatever is on the earth, then left the earth and went to heavens and stayed there. Now, one of the almost contemporary commentators, Jamaluddin Qasimi, who is somehow literalist and Salafi as well, says that, yes, this is true. All traditions prove, this is what he says, all traditions prove that Allah is in the heavens. He actually has created the earth and then has gone up and stays in the heavens. And he says that there are many verses in the Quran, for example, Ya Isa, inni mutahhiruka, mutawaffika, wa rafi'uka ilayya, wa mutahhiruka min alladhina kafru. I'm going to elevate you to myself, means that God is sitting in the heaven and he took Isa towards himself. Yudabbirul amra min as-sama'i ila al-ard. Again, he mentions this is that he is managing the affairs from heaven towards the earth, so he is in the heaven. And his terms is very amazing what he says. He says that wa huwa madhhabu as-salaf qatibatan. All the salaf believed that God is in the heavens. Of course, how he interprets the opinion of Salaf is something that we have to discuss. And he says this is something which Al-Imam al-Zahabi has proven in his book, Kitab al-Uluw. And says that لَمْ يَزَلْ أَهْلُ الشَّرِيعَةِ مِنْ أَوَّلِ الْأَمْرِ يُثْبِتُونَ لِلَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى جَهَدًا. أَهْلُ الشَّرِيعَةِ. This is more like Ibn Taymiyyah type of literature, that all people of Sharia used to do this. أَهْلُ الشَّرِيعَةِ. This means everyone who believed in faith, believed in religion of Islam, they actually proved and confirmed that Allah has direction and He is up there. He's up there. يثبتون لله سبحانه وتعالى جهة الفوق. They proved for Allah the up direction, that He is up there. And then they bring lots of examples why we raise our hands when we want to pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is, some of them say that it is an instinctive knowledge of the believers that God is up in the heavens. Instinctively we know that. And he says that this was the idea of all Ahlul Sharia, hatta nafatha al-Mu'tazila, until the Mu'tazila came and negated that Allah has any direction, Allah cannot have place, cannot be up there or down here, until Mu'tazila came and actually refuted it. And then some of the later scholars of Ash'ari, like, for example, Fakhruddin al-Razi, Ghazali, these people, they also followed Mu'tazila. They negated the direction that God has any direction or is up there, the up or down or whatever. And he says that this is actually وَالشَّرَاءُ كُلُّهَا مَبْنِيَّةٌ عَلَىٰ أَنَّ اللَّهَ فِي السَّمَاءِ. And all the sharai' is based, all the understanding in this religion, in other religions, is that Allah is in the heavens. Now, what can we say about this sort of opinions which people are saying, are actually not only believing in, however, attributing it to all people of Sharia, meaning that anyone who does not believe that Allah is not in Sama, in the skies or in heaven or whatever it is, he is not from Ahlul Sharia, does not understand religion well. So this type of literature is abounding in actually the Salafi literature. And the sad thing about it is, just as I said, just like the literature of Ibn Taymiyyah, says that all the people of religion, all companions of the Prophet, all Tabi'un, all Salaf, they believed in such things without actually proving it. It's something that it defies reason. That's why Mu'tazila came and completely rejected this sort of opinions, which were given by certain very limited number of scholars. And then, of course, because of the power of the authorities, they could spread their views. Views like this, and God knows how many people were killed because denying such very sort of unreasonable ideas about God, about Arsh, about Quran, about such things. And we know just from the beginning of the, from the end of first century, we know that there were many people who were the precursors of Mu'tazila. They were killed because they actually opposed such opinions, such very simplistic and childish opinions about God, and wanted to talk about God in a more rational way. And of course, these literalists were very strong at that time. Anyhow, so istawa doesn't mean irtafa, then he went up to heavens. It's the best meaning of istawa thumma istawa ila sama. He then turned, tawajjaha ila sama, turned to heavens to create heavens. Now, the only problem here is that خلق لكم ما في الأرض جميعا. He created everything which is on the earth. ثم استوى. Then he turned to heavens. Now, it's very difficult to imagine that God created the earth first and then the skies or the other parts of the universe after that. And this has actually caused lots of discussion among the commentators that what this means. Now, we have two sets of actually opposing verses here. That one set of verses say that he created the earth, then turned towards the heaven. And the other verse or set of verses says that he created the heaven and then he expanded the earth. Now, this verse says that he created whatever was on the earth for you and then turned to the sky. هو الذي خلق لكم ما في الأرض جميعا ثم استوى إلى السماء. Then he turned to heavens. Also in Surah Fussilat, قل أئنكم لتكفرون بالذي خلق الأرض في يومين وتجعلون له أندادا ذلك رب العالمين. Do you deny, do you reject the one who created the earth in two stages? وجعل وجعل فيها رواسي من فوقها وبارك فيها وقدر فيها أقواتها في أربعة أيام سواء للسائلين. And then in four stages he created all those bounties on the earth, whatever was there, plants, animals. ثم استوى إلى السماء. Then he turned to the heavens. وهي دخان, and it was just like a smoke. فقال لها وللأرض ائتيا طوعا أو كرها قالتا أتينا طائعين فسوهن سبع سماوات. Then he created them as seven heavens. So this verse here and the verses in Surah Fussilat says that he created the earth and turned to sky. Now in Surah Nazaat we have something opposite. أأنتم أشد خلقا أم السماء بناها. Are you firmer in creation or the heavens that Allah created? رفع سمكها فسواها وأغطش ليلها وأخرج ضحاها والأرض بعد ذلك دها. And after that he expanded the earth, created. So here we have two things. Now, how the exegetes have actually dealt with this issue? The issue has been since very old an issue of discussion, to the extent that Fakhruddin Razi says that I have seen some of the atheists have actually put these two verses together and they say, look, there is contradiction in the Quran. So Quran has no value. Since old days, so the atheist, the mulhida, as Razi puts it, or people of followers of other religions, they have actually brought to our attention that, look, there is a controversy here, in the a contradiction here in the Quran, and that is the two sets of ayat. Now, to solve this, there is a sort of solution in literature from the point of sentence structure and also syntax. And that is the meaning of thumma. Thumma has two meanings. One meaning is to denote the order in events. So, خلق لكم ما في الأرض جميعا ثم استوى إلى السماء means after that he turned into heavens. The other one, the other solution is that thumma is not the other meaning of thumma is not always for the notion of order of things. It sometimes means order in counting the blessings, for example. Did I not honor you with my, for example, gift. And then when you were a child, did I not look after you? You see, there's no order here. The order is opposite. Did I not honor you with my gift? And then thumma akramtuka fi sabawatik, for example. This thumma is for order in statement rather than order in the way events happen. So they say here, and we have examples of this in the Quran as well. وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَاكُمْ ثُمَّ صَوَّرْنَاكُمْ ثُمَّ قُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَةُ اسْجُدُوا لِآدَمَ. Actually, the order is opposite. We said to Malaika to prostrate to Adam, then of course we fashioned you, then we created you. But he said, we created you, then we fashioned you, then we told to angels to prostrate to Adam. Here it is actually in position of counting the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the examples in Arabic literature, of course, are numerous, which are mentioned as I gave the meaning. So this is one of them. Now they say that, okay, here some of the exegetes say that the earth is created before the heavens, and this is the meaning of it. And wal arda ba'da dhalika daha is counting the bounties. God created the heavens, and then should I mention one more thing? I created the earth as well. Or some say no. The heavens were created before, and wal arda and thumma stawa ila sama is in counting the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, what is the reality? The reality is that we cannot actually determine now the stages of creation. The stage of creation is very difficult for us. Even if we accept the Big Bang theory, we don't know actually how the formation happened. Which one was formed before, what was formed before, what completely in its perfection. So we may say that, yes, parts of the earth was being formed when the heavens were being created in the process of creation as well, in the process of expansion. What we can gather here is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the heaven and earth in stages. And that's what it says in six stages. And these stages were somehow developing together. It was not that, for example, Allah first created the earth and then created the heavens. No, while the earth was in the process of creation, there were things which were happening in the skies as well. Now, هُوَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مَا فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا ثُمَّ اسْتَوَى إِلَى السَّمَاءِ. Then, after when the earth was being formed, the heavens needed also to go through that process of creation, and then he made the heavens the way they are. While the earth was in the process of creation, he made the heavens the way they are. It's very difficult to determine time or how long it took for each to be completely formed. So what the Quran tells us is that, and it's very difficult to say that thumma is for order in a statement, because it says ثُمَّ اسْتَوَى, then he turned to heavens. Very difficult to say it's for order in statement. It is in order of events. ثُمَّ اسْتَوَى إِلَى السَّمَاءِ فَصَوَّهُنَّ سَبْعَ سَمَاوَاتٍ. While the earth was being formed, the heavens were created into seven heavens. Now, the bigger problem here is not ثُمَّ. The bigger problem is, what is the meaning of seven heavens? ثُمَّ اسْتَوَى إِلَى السَّمَاءِ. Now, the Quran speaks about these seven heavens very frequently. And based on the Ptolemaic astronomy and the way the order of creation of the universe was, they actually thought the seven heavens were seven. These seven planets, each of them were having one sort of circle in which they were moving, and that circle was one heaven, each had one level, and these were the seven heavens, actually, which is, of course, disproved by science now. And the Quran never speaks like that as seven heavens, actually disproves it, because it says, وَزَيَّنَّ السَّمَاءَ الدُّنْيَا بِمَصَابِيحَ. All these planets that you see, all these planets, the stars especially that you see, because these are the masabi, these are in the first heaven, sama'ud dunya. Then there are other heavens that you are unaware of. Allama Tabatabai rahmatullah alayhi says that we only know about the first heaven because Allah says, وَزَيَّنَّ السَّمَاءَ الدُّنْيَا بِمَصَابِيحَ. The lowest heaven, the lowest sky that we created is full of stars and planets. So the whole universe that we can imagine or our knowledge can reach, our instruments can detect, no matter how huge it may be, it is all the first heaven. Then he says that there are other heavens beyond this that our knowledge has not reached. And Allah actually mentions that all these heavens, seven heavens, are actually part of the physical material world. But what we know about this universe is only the first heaven. And even our instruments have not been able to detect, our scientific instruments have not been able to detect the whole, the complete embodiment of what is in this universe, in the first heaven. Then there are heavens above that. Allah informs us about it, but doesn't say what it is. I was actually listening to one lecture of a very fantastical, imaginational sort of speaker who was explaining these seven heavens in this way. Well, I was fascinated, actually, how imagination can work. And he said that there have been seven Big Bangs. The whole thing was based on the Big Bang theory. There have been seven Big Bangs, okay? The first Big Bang, of course, would create a universe. And then the second Big Bang moved that universe out and created an inner universe, okay? So we have one heaven, one sky, which was the product of the first Big Bang, and then a second sky or universe, which is the product of the second Big Bang. And then this happened seven times. And if you imagine these skies and heavens are created one layer after another, and then we are in the seventh Big Bang. The Earth is in the seventh. There are outer layers of this. Well, this is just a fantasy, of course. It cannot be proven in any way, in any sense. It's just to somehow make a correspondence between the seven heavens of the Quran and the Big Bang theory, which is, of course, just a paradigm, so to speak. It's not even a scientific theory. It's still a paradigm in which we are working to understand how the universe was formed. Anyhow, what Allama Tabatabai says is that these seven, the other six heavens, which are actually round this universe in a way, because it says in Surah Nuh, أَلَمْ تَرَوْ كَيْفَ خَلَقَ اللَّهُ سَبْعَ سَمَاوَاتٍ تَبَاقًا. Haven't you seen how Allah has created these seven heavens, one covering the other, one over the other? And because we know that it's not just a flat thing, one is surrounding the other, these seven. And he says that these seven are the material, the physical heavens. And then there are spiritual heavens mentioned in the Quran, which is the place of the angels, which have some relation to these layers of physical heaven. Anyhow, this is what he explains about the seven heavens. فَسَوَّهُنَّ سَبْعَ سَمَاوَاتٍ وَهُوَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمٍ. Now, about the سَبْعَ سَمَاوَاتِ, there is another understanding that there are layers, dimensions of creation rather than all of these seven being physical. Allah الذي خلق سبع سماوات ومن الأرض مثلهن. Allah has created seven heavens and seven earths like that. So there should be seven dimensions for this earth, seven dimensions for this universe that we know. يتنزل الأمر بينهن. Allah sends down the command through these. It comes to the first, actually to the seventh, in which there are higher angels, then comes to the sixth, which are angels below that, then comes to the fifth. The angels receive it one from another until they make they implement what Allah commands them. Anyhow, this is some ideas about سبع سماوات. هو الذي خلق لكم ما في الأرض جميعا ثم استوى إلى السماء فسواهن سبع سماوات وهو بكل شيء عليم. Despite the vastness of this creation, despite the huge exponential sort of measures that we may think about this creation, everything which is in it, the smallest particle to the biggest thing, Allah knows all of that. After mentioning كيف تكفرون بالله وكنتم أمواتا فأحياكم, how can you be ungrateful to Allah while you were dead and He gave you life? And then He created whatever is on the earth for you, and then He created the seven heavens. Then He says, mentions another bounty, a special, very special bounty for human beings, and that is the creation of man in the form he is, the knowledge that Allah has given us. These were the external things that Allah had created for us. Then there is an internal specific thing about human being, which is mentioned about in form of the story of Adam alayhi salam. Verse number 30, وَإِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةٌ. When your Lord said to the angels, indeed I am going to set a viceroy on the earth. Now what is the relation of this to the previous verses? Meaning that I have made you, I have created the earth, I have created the heavens and everything, and then I have made you viceroys on the earth, my vicegerents, my khalifa. So you have to appreciate this as well. وَإِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةٌ قَالُوا أَتَجْعَلُ فِيهَا مَنْ يُفْسِدُ فِيهَا وَيَسْفِكُ الدِّمَاءِ. They said, will you set in it someone who will cause corruption in it and shed blood? وَنَحْنُ نُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِكَ وَنُقَدِّسُ لَكَ. And while we celebrate your praise and proclaim your sanctity. Now it means that we deserve to be Khalifa rather than this creature that you are going to create. Otherwise, they wouldn't say, نَحْنُ نُصَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِكَ وَنُقَدِّسُ لَكَ. So how you place a khalifa other than us, while نَحْنُ نُصَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِكَ وَنُقَدِّسُ لَكَ قَالَ إِنِّي أَعْلَمُ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. I know what you do not know. Now, the first thing about this verse is that, who are these angels? Did Allah speak to all angels that He has created? This is not plausible, because we know that in many traditions we have that there are angels who even don't know Allah has created a human being yet, or anything else, because al-mala'ikatul muhayyamun, the absorbed angels to Allah's beauty. They are so absorbed that they don't know even that Allah has created anything else. So is this an address to all angels that Allah has created? إِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ. And this is quite, of course, plausible. It is quite plausible in literature, in language, that when we, for example, address certain people, we say, وَإِذْ قُلْتَ لِلنَّاسِ, for example, when you said to people, it doesn't mean that you said to everyone. وَإِذْ قُلْنَا لَكَ إِنَّ رَبَّكَ أَحَاطَ بِالنَّاسِ وَمَا جَعَلْنَا الرُّؤْيَا الَّتِي أَرَيْنَاكَ. When we told you that Allah is actually aware of what people are doing. It means people of Mecca, of course. They were, or the companions of the Prophet, or whoever who were around the Prophet. So, إِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ. First of all, we have to establish whether this is all angels or a particular number of angels. Now, in traditions, in our traditions, there is an allusion that no, these were not angels universally and generally. There were specific angels that Allah spoke to them, and those were the angels who had actually already been on the earth for a mission, and they knew what was happening on the earth. However, this is difficult because in Surah Sa'd we have that Al-Mala'ul A'la, the very close angels, were arguing among them, discussing among themselves about the cause of creation of man. مَا كَانَ لِي مِنْ عِلْمٍ بِالْمَلَأِ الْأَعْلَىٰ إِذْ يَحْتَصِمُونَ I have no knowledge about Mala'ul A'la, the highest angels, when they were discussing among themselves, actually disagreeing among themselves. This is very interesting. It means that angels have intelligence, first of all, and they don't have total knowledge. They were disagreeing among themselves about the cause of creation of human being before Allah revealing to them. Okay? Now, the traditions say that before man, there were creatures living on the earth who were like human beings, but not fully human beings. They were animalistic human beings. They were called nasnas, creatures who in their composition, in their structure, physical body, were like human beings. But they were very evil. They didn't have the type of spirituality that Adam and his children had. And they were creating huge corruption on the earth, huge corruption. Now, if we want to go into even scientific theories that now we have about, for example, we had Homo sapiens, then Neanderthals, destroying Homo sapiens and coming and taking their place. Now, the theories now that the latest theories say that, yes, Homo sapiens were destroyed or completely vanished from the earth because of the spread of Neanderthals, because they had more knowledge, more intelligence. Now, these actually traditions tell us that, no, these human-like creatures were not destroyed by any other creature or by human being, by children of Adam, or by Neanderthals or whatever. They were destroyed by angels. Allah actually wiped them off the earth because they were absolutely corrupt. And when they were on the earth, they had relationship with jinn and all these things, you know, like this British tales about the interaction of jinn and human being and other higher sort of creatures that you see in Lord of the Rings and hobbits and such things, isn't it? It is all British tales, and apparently these British tales have an origin of history. Now, these traditions tell us that there were human-like creatures called nasnas on the earth, and they were in interaction with jinn as well. They were making lots of corruption, bloodshed. They were just killing each other, not having this spirituality that human beings have. And Allah wiped them off by the angels. And they say that Iblis was one of those jinn who was actually among them and ruling on the earth. Now, I'm not telling that we are accepting these traditions, but these are there, these traditions we have there. And then when the angels came and destroyed these human-like creatures, they captured Iblis and took him with themselves to heavens, and Iblis started to pray, worship God there, and gradually, later angels were created, and they thought that he was one of the angels. This is what this story tells us. And then this story tells us that إِذْ غَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَ These malaika are actually addressed. Allah told to these angels that I'm going to put a viceroy. And they were very amazed because they saw this Adam created out of clay. It was very similar to Nasnas, very similar to those human beings who were living on the earth before. And they said, again, you are going to to create these creatures, these vicious creatures on the earth, and then you are going to make them your khalifa. Oh, this is amazing. قالوا أتجعل فيها من يفسد فيها ويسفك الدماء. They make corruption, they shed blood, and they were seeing with Nasnas, they were doing this. وَنَحْنُ نُصَبِّهُ بِحَمْدِكَ وَنُقَدِّسُ لَكَ. So if you want to put someone on the earth as your viceroy, why not us? Why them? قَالَ أَنِّي أَعْلَمُ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُ. No, there's something you know, something you don't know. And that thing that you don't know, I know, and I will reveal it to you so that you will approve, you will be satisfied that this should be my viceroy. This is one way of explaining this verse, okay? Now, of course, there are other ways of explaining this verse, inshallah. We will leave it for next week. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa alihi at-tahirin.
Allahumma shukran. Thank you much indeed, Sheikh. A little amusing as well, but... And so were there nasnas before Adam was created?
Well, all our traditions say yes. Before Adam was created, there were human-like creatures on the earth.
Even from authentic hadith from our imams, is there?
As I said, I mean, it's overwhelming that there were human-like creatures on the earth before us.
Okay.
Actually now somehow the modern science is shedding some light on it, isn't it? There were human-like creatures on earth before us.
Okay, let's open the floor for further discussion. There you are. My sister is ready.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum
assalam. This is also with the friend in the Bible that God had created seven, the earth and skies, and 7 days. So the number seven is very meaningful in the Quran and the Bible, and also refer about this kind of beings before the humans.
In the Bible?
But yes, they referred like as the giants.
Giants, yeah. Okay,
so
very
it's
good.
Kind of, even for what I've been studying, like we should believe in all the holy books. And like I was a Catholic before, and when you mentioned this one, come before my mind, everything I have learned before. And so I want to say also some surahs in the Quran. Is Surah Naba, verse 12. When they say, and they construct above you seven heavens.
Mm-hmm.
So, why the number seven is so important?
Of course, there are some commentators who say that this seven is a holy number, and actually does not refer to numbers, it refers to something which denotes infinity, denotes something which cannot be counted. We can actually take this number seven in two different ways. One way is that symbolic way. For example, Allah created seven heavens. It means innumerable. Seven is a symbolic number for...
Also, I have seven layers from the earth until the space. There are seven layers.
Atmosphere, yes.
Yeah.
In atmosphere, yes. About the stages of creation, however, there is a difference between Bible and the Quran. Now, the Bible says that God created the whole creation in six stages or 6 days. They specifically six days, starting from Sunday and then ending in Friday, and then he took rest in Saturday. Now, well, Saturday is Sabbath, isn't it? Sabbath of the Jews, isn't it? Sabbath of the Jews.
In the Bible, they say that start with Monday and finish Saturday and take Sunday for rest. Well, at least it was in the Bible there.
Well, I was thinking because the Jews take Sabbath as the rest day.
But I was not Jewish.
Okay. Anyhow, what is mentioned is about the Sabbath, and Sabbath actually means post, isn't it? Sabbath means post in Hebrew and in Arabic as well. وَجَعَلْنَا نَوْمَكُمْ سُبَاتًا, it's a pause for you. Okay, Sabbath means rest. Now, he took rest in Sabbath, six stages, and they actually give this Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, which Allama Tabatabai actually says that it is absolutely nonsensical to think like that, because before creation of earth and sun, which creates this, produces these days, and we give them name, Monday, Sunday, it is not possible to say that Allah started the whole creation before moon and sun and earth on a Monday or a Sunday or a Tuesday. You see, it has no meaning. So we say it's six stages. However, Quran does not, of course, enter into this business of days. Such as it says, "خلق السماوات والأرض في ستة أيام," in six stages. Ayams is stages, not days. Then about this resting issue that he took the rest in Sabbath, in a couple of places, Quran actually refers to it and rejects it. الله الذي خلق أَوَلَمْ يَرَوْا أَنَّ اللَّهَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ وَلَمْ يَأَيَّ بِخَلْقِهِنَّ. Do they not see Allah created the heavens and earth and did not become tired of it, did not have any tiredness so that he wants rest in Sabbath? Or in another verse we have وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ in Surah Qaf, وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ فِي سَتَّةَ أَيَّامٍ وَمَا مَسَّنَا مِنْ لُغُوبٍ. We did not feel any hardship or tiredness or something like that. It rejects the idea that the Jews had created in the Bible, put in the Bible, that he needed rest, and therefore we need to have rest in Sabbath, and we shouldn't work. Because Allah didn't work in Sabbath, we shouldn't work in Sabbath as well. In these two verses of the Quran rejects the idea of this tiredness or hardship, and so the rest and the idea of Sabbath and anything. However, Allah says that, yes, we wrote for the Jews, إِنَّمَا جُعِلَ السَّبْتُ عَلَى الَّذِينَ اخْتُلِفُوا فِيهِ. We wrote for the Jews that they have to pause in Sabbath, not work. And initially it was commanded very strongly that you should not work in Sabbath, because they didn't give any rest to their slaves, to their workers. They did not put any day for their worship. And Allah said, strictly you should not work in Sabbath. So stop working, give rest to your slaves, give rest to your workers, and you yourself also take some rest to do some business, to do some worship apart from business. And then I don't know how it came, this idea came that, oh, Allah needed some rest, so he told us to rest in Sabbath. Anyhow.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you.
Abbas?
Alaykum as-salam.
Sheikh, 2 points, if I may. Number one, I've seen some translations of the Quran that say that Allah created the in six periods, and then he rested in the arsh. And I've seen that as a translation. Now, that could be metaphorical, as in once he's created the arsh is now...
No, istawa doesn't mean rest.
No, I'm saying I've seen this. And that could be influenced from the Bible when people do this translation.
Absolutely. Yes, yes.
Absolutely. And I'm saying there also could be a metaphorical meaning in that once he's created the creation, the earth now manages and controls everything on his behalf. That could be a meaning.
As I said, because the Quran in two places categorically rejects this idea of rest.
Yes.
We shouldn't, actually, that translation is probably, he has chosen wrong term. for estawa. Estawa never means rest, actually. Estawa means to establish firmly or something like that.
And the other point you made, where Allah created the earth and then He created the heavens. You were explaining this kind of thing in the creation of the Nur of Rasulullah, when people say, and we say that this was created first. And then you explain this by saying, if you wish to design a car, first conceptually you design it, and then you build a factory that builds the car. So yeah. It could be similarly, Allah conceptually designed the earth, and then all the mechanics to create it were created afterwards. I don't know. I'm using your analogy.
Yeah, because it's a khalaqa. Maybe that may be an interpretation. Yes, yes. But we have to put it in words and put it in a commentary, and to see how other commentators will attack us, you know, regarding that. But anyhow, I mean that is an explanation. Yeah.
Thank you, sisters. Any sisters?
Sorry, today I'm annoying. It's not a question, but it's just for referring how amazing it is, like 14 centuries ago, how they, when they write the Quran, people today, they still deny the Quran, and when they have strong proofs that 14 centuries ago, that people didn't know that we have seven layers of atmosphere and galaxies, and in the Quran we refer everything in detail.
So science puts light on what we read in the Quran. Thank you for that comment.
Thank you.
Sorry. You were talking about the seven heavens. Is that the same as paradise, or is paradise something different?
No, by heavens we mean not the sky, you see. Maybe the best term for it, I mean, what is above the earth, and by above we mean from every direction, and therefore we mean different universes, different layers of creation which goes above the universe as well. So we call paradise heaven because there is this idea that paradise is in the skies. That's why we call it heaven. Well, originally, heaven means the sky. Okay, what is above us? And heaven is called heaven, the paradise, because there was this idea that it is in the sky, and that's why it's called heaven. So when we talk about seven heavens and such things, we do not refer to paradise at all. It's a completely different thing.
But they say paradise also has seven layers. Is that right?
Who says that?
That's what I've heard, that these people are in this layer of paradise. And these people,
yeah,
are in
infinite layers, not seven, of course. Paradise had many, many different layers and levels. Levels, probably. Darajat, eight gates. Darajat, and of course, gates also refer to levels as well, because every group of people who go to certain levels go from one gate, and then in those gates there are many levels as well. Yeah.
Thank you. Sisters, any sister? Sister? No, Riyad? Yeah.
Assalamu alaikum, Shaykh.
Alaikum salam.
Can of worms here. Two things I'd like to ask you first. A small one is the word astawa. Of course, we do remember a translation which says he's sitting on a throne. You know,
Summastawa ala al-arsh.
That's the one, yes.
Yeah, he established himself on the throne. Estawa, it may mean sitting, of course. It may mean sitting. But we know that this is metaphorical, because arsh is the closest thing, that means it is the closest thing on Allah, which Allah is managing it, and everything is coming from that. That's why we see he's sitting on the throne. That means the throne is the first thing which is issued from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yeah.
Furthest from the people. The word istawa, I just noticed this off the top of my head, and remember when we went to the Holy Lands, when they start the namaz, the one.
Estawu.
That's, yes, yes. How does that compare to this word?
Yeah, istawa and sawahunna, as we have, means to make them evenly, paying attention to every side of it. Sawahunna sab'a samawat. So istawa means stay even. So istawa has many meanings, okay? So istawa means stay even. Isn't this, Doctor? Istawa, stay even, something like that. Same level. Yeah. From sawiya or musawat, or all these come from this term sawa. Yeah.
So the one who's leading the prayer is actually saying to everybody, form your lines straight.
Form your lines evenly, straight line. Yeah.
Yeah, so pretty good. Thank you.
Thank you. Any sisters?
So my just want to clarify, from barzakh to heaven, are there seven layers to go up before you can meet Allah? Are there, as you purify yourself, I'm not clear about that. So how does it work?
Sometimes the seven heavens are referred when Allah speaks about seven dimensions of creation, one on top of other. And these are where, for example, there are angels in the first heaven, angels in the seventh heaven, the second heaven, and up to the seventh, which is the closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The seventh heaven is the place of Malaikatul Muqarrabun, the close angels. So this is not physical. And Allama Tawada mentions that. He mentions that there are these spiritual heavens in which the angels live, and then these physical heavens, which the closest is our universe, which is full of stars and planets. And yes, every heaven gets us closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why in Mi'raj, we have that the Prophet says that I first went to the first heaven, I saw met the angels there, and then went to the second heaven. The angels were more fascinating, of course, there, and then moved up to the third heaven, and it is actually sometimes confused with these physical heavens, layers of creation, and therefore people think that Prophet, peace be upon him, went to these places with his body, because it was physical. While it was not physical for him to go with his body, maybe with his mithali body, he was going up there. Yes, of course, the seventh heaven is closest, but this is not something that we can actually, in our spiritual journey, move from one heaven to another heaven. That's not something that which is possible.
Thank you. Any brother? Yep.
About the seven heavens, if I may. People are, human beings are built with a certain amount of feeling what they can feel and what they can conjecture. So the receptacles we have for our little brain, the maximum they can go is seven. So for example, if a dog can hear 150 decibels and man can only hear until 75, that means there are people and there is things beyond 75 decibels. So it's just an idea, because I remember from the Indian traditions, you have seven colors of the rainbow. It's only because we can only see seven. There might be 42. It's just that human being can only go until seven as a number to complicate things in his brain. Any more than that might be difficult to imagine. So if there is seven colors, and if there is seven tunes, as they say, tunes that come from music and no more than that, and they're the root of everything, in the same way, it might be that God says seven, but in fact, numerous. In terms of heavens even, we can only understand seven human beings. It might be 1,002. We don't know. It's just that God is so great. He's trying to tell us that there is seven because we understand seven. If we could have understood 28, he would have said 28. It's just an idea that from 2,000, 3,000 years ago, seven was always a number. Okay, we can't count beyond this, because it's going to be bigger than
actually, you were saying the same thing that the sister was saying.
Exactly, yes, that's what I'm saying. The greatness of God cannot be measured any more than seven in normal human contact. Yeah. If we were talking about 58 teeth, yes, we might have figured 21 is a better number than seven. So it might have been 21 that we would have normally been told. So I'm appreciating that throughout the thousands of years, the number seven has been unique in the sense that it's probably where our thinking stops and it says, okay, that's quite enough. We can't handle any more than that. So it's complementing exactly what she said. It's like every religion has the same number.
Thank you. Any sisters? So suppose we are going to continue next Sunday with some light on Nas-Nas, is it? Because why I'm asking is because when I was younger, I had heard from, there was a hadith from Imam Ali al-Islam that there were creatures before Allah created Hazrat Adam, and probably he was referring to Nas-Nas.
Yeah. You know, in Persian, any child who is hyperactive, we call them nasnas. So.
Okay, so any last one, anybody? Brothers, sisters? No. Shukran. Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad Salwan.